This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good in it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need a spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Hi there. Happy Football Friday. Beautiful weather today and this weekend. That's what's expected. What's better? Come on. It's Jeremy's thing, but what's better than mid-October when it's like high 60s?
Oh, when it's like this, sunny? It's...
What's better?
I think the phrasing is it's elite, and I agree. It does make up for the days when it's 42 and raining sideways.
I am already looking forward to the 30 to 40 Tennessee Titans players who will get off the plane tomorrow. Like, I want to play here, and then the Bills later on to shun them because they're bad at football. But we'll never know about it. Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. I had this written up because it's so interesting. Last week, every day, I don't think I ever said it. Do you know who leads the season, not the season, the all-time series between the Bills and the Jets? Like, which team has the lead head-to-head all-time?
I'm pretty sure it's the Bills.
Yes, by like 11 games.
Yeah, I think they said it on Monday Night Football.
Did they?
They may have, yeah. I would have guessed that, I think, anyway, but I think that was, yeah.
Why do you think it's like sort of intuitive that the Bills have the all-time lead against the Jets? Is it the 90s? Is it recent? Because recent, the narrative is more that the Bills struggle against them.
Yeah,
they've lost a couple.
Yeah, they still have won more than they've lost to them since Allen's been this guy. But it's just...
They haven't lost to him here.
Some of them are harder than, you know, and then there have been, you know, the turnover game from last year's opener.
Allen lost to him here the one time with Darnold, like a late drive.
Yeah,
that was a good game.
Yeah,
that game. 19?
Yeah, yeah.
18?
I don't remember the year, but yes, I remember that 18. Happening. I think it's because the Jets... the 90s weigh heavily there for me, but even... The Jets just almost were never good.
Oh, my.
But have they ever... They're never good. When I was a little kid, I don't remember them ever really being good. I mean, I know they played in the playoffs in 80 or 81, whatever year that was.
81.
And, you know, I
was... 98.
I wasn't exactly a little kid there, but still.
No, you literally watched on TV Super Bowl IX.
Yeah, right. So, you know, I'm 15 or 16 years old when they're in the playoffs against one another. But the Bills, what the Jets don't have in my lifetime is an era like the Bills had in the 90s.
Right.
They just do not have a stretch of 12 years where they're in the playoffs 10 times or whatever it is, 9 out of 11 or whatever it is for the Bills from like 88 to 99. They were just in every year.
Well, except for a couple. That's right. The early drought years, Like 2002 is Chad Morton.
Right.
Until Favre. The Jets probably won most of those games. But it's not like they were great. Mm-hmm. Up until Sanchez and their last playoff team.
And then the Rex years, which are also the Sanchez years, there's games where they ran for like 275 yards against the Bills.
Well, there's one that they lost. Oh, a famous one that you were going to see
AC/DC at the arena.
I knew it was Letters.
Yeah. Good.
I knew it was Letters.
Well done.
AC/DC, not ZZ Top.
Right. Other end of the alphabet.
Are they ZZ Top in Canada?
I don't believe so.
So, yes. There it is. The Bills lead the all-time series with the Jets by about 10 or 12 games. They just added to the lead, of course, on Monday night. What about Tennessee? What is the regular season?
Are we including the Houston Oilers
yes.
in this? Right. Okay.
That's it's same franchise.
Right.
Because, you know, tell me about their dominant era.
Right. I mean, they were really good in the you know, Dan Pastorini, Love You Blue, Bum Phillips. That's like late 70s, early 80s.
Bills were good too.
Yeah. And if, you know, they didn't play twice a year either.
Right.
Never in the same division. I'll bet it's closer to a 500 split.
The Bills' all-time regular season record against this franchise is 18-29.
Oof.
Right?
Wow. Wow.
I know what you're thinking. How? The biggest culprit, 1967 to 78. They played 10 times, and Houston won all 10.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It was like a mini Miami Dolphins thing happening there.
And the Bills scored like 8 points a game somehow in a decade in 10 games against Houston.
Wow.
They got to 14 twice, but they lost all 10. It's not 0 for the 70s. Wasn't twice a year, like you said, but it's bleak.
Yeah, that is tough.
And then so we have Music City Miracle. Then you have the opener the next year. With Johnson.
Right.
And the Bills win,
Bills
that, game
win that game
on
yep.
a Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Bills lost the next five to Tennessee over about another decade. Didn't play very often. Since then, they're 4-2. Since Allen, they are 3-2 against the Titans. Games in Nashville, at least the one that I remember just for like everybody I knew was there. Duke Williams. Is that the name?
Yeah.
Duke Williams.
Yep.
And then you have a couple of night game losses
right.
in Nashville.
Allen slips at the goal Allen line
slips.
Late.
The Josh Norman, Derrick Henry stiff arm.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice to think about Tennessee without Derrick Henry.
Are those the same game or are those two different? Because they played.
I think they're different.
Yeah. Because the game that got moved around was also down there, and that was ghastly. Like they got. They just turned it over. Houston. $5 in the jar. Tennessee had like scoring drives that were 20 yards in that game, like a couple of them, because the Bills were just sloppy and they got blown out. Those two games sort of meld together to me, even though one was a very close loss with Allen slipping at the goal line late. The other one was a blowout. So there's a couple that are pretty recent.
I have the same problem. To me, that's one night.
Yeah, right?
And the most recent meeting is a blowout Bills win here on the Monday night. Diggs.
Following the L.A. opener. Yeah.
Right. Diggs might have had three in that game.
Yeah, I don't remember.
41-7.
It was a beatdown.
It's nice to think about playing Tennessee without Derrick Henry being on that team.
I guess so.
Deal with Tony Pollard this time. Will that do? Will that be okay?
I think you should be able to deal with Tony Pollard. He's all right.
He's fine.
Yeah. He's a running back.
Derrick Henry is the kind of guy that can sort of just like destroy you.
Yeah.
He's the exception.
I think so.
That should be one of his 18 nicknames. The exception.
Yeah.
Why isn't it?
It's a little bit. I think he has a chance to go over 1,000 yards already for the year.
This week?
This week. Or maybe, I don't know where he's at.
Could be. Sure. Could be.
I might be exaggerating. But I saw the numbers.
Could be right.
I saw a tweet that said something about his total, and I just was like, oh, my God. Maybe it's only 700.
He's at 704.
Oh, okay, yeah. But still, like, it's week seven. He's at 700 yards already. I mean, what is,
right.
Good God.
And he's got a teammate who's over 400.
Right?
His quarterback.
It's a quarterback, right. Yeah, yeah, you know, running backs don't matter, except Derrick Henry.
Maybe. Eight touchdowns, too.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, what a year he's
had. Eight rushing touchdowns. Yeah. Well, the Bills are 9.5-point favorites. Can we relax for once this year, unless you include week one? I mean, maybe week three. I don't know. Is it pretty relaxed?
It would be. It feels like it would be pretty stunning to lose.
It would be a horrendous loss.
Yeah. A team that, I mean, I'm listening to Greg Cosell on the way in every week. He's on with Chris and Steve on One Bills Live. And I love that. It just times out. It's 2 o'clock on Fridays, and I'm usually driving in at 2 o'clock on Fridays.
That's funny. I'm usually here by then.
So I don't work as hard as you, plainly. Although I think listening to Greg Cosell qualifies as work because I reference it often. So that kind of counts. If I were here, I might not be listening to Greg Cosell.
Is that so comfortable?
Like, he's talking about how last week it really just looked like they were trying to hide Will Levis. Like, let's not let him hurt us. Let's just not ask him to do anything. And, like, what kind of way is that to live in the NFL with your quarterback? I mean, you just can't do that. So, I mean, they've had close losses here, mostly. And, you know, that could give you some pause, and we're hearing about the defense, and I respect that, but you can't lose to this team. So that creates a different kind of pressure. Like, I'm not nervous about the Bills losing the game as much as I am nervous about what it will feel like if they do. Does that make sense? I'm not sure if that makes sense. I just, you can't lose this game, and that's not always the best place to be. But there's no way you should lose this game. This team should not be able to hurt you through the air, really at all.
Let me play devil's advocate.
Okay.
I think there's three things here for Tennessee. The Bills can get run on, even in the Jet game. Like, the Jets were really struggling to run the ball, but they did okay there. Like, Breece Hall got over 100 yards. It was not a liability for the Jets on Monday night. Pollard has been fine. They will not have Tyjae Spears in this game. But Pollard's okay. I mean, everybody kind of loved him before last year. He broke his leg in the playoffs at San Francisco, playing for Dallas, at the end of the 22 season in that game. Last year, he just never really hit. And so he leaves in free agency. Tennessee signs him. And so far, so good. So they do have a running back. They do have a running game that I think is respectable. They've done about average this year so far on the ground, and that's where the Bills are most vulnerable. You never know with matchups up front. I loved Denver last night, but who knows what their offense was going to do? Who knew what their offense was going to do? What happened? Really, both sides of the ball, they did anything they want up front, and easy game. You know, like the Saints couldn't block them, but they also ran the ball easily, Denver. And I just think, at least this is sort of beyond me trying to predict the NFL, is what happens in the matchups at the line of scrimmage. So I do think Bill Callahan, I think maybe if I'm Tennessee, like this, you're saying this is what they're already doing.
Right.
This is what I would want to do if I were any team against the Bills, is not succumb to Sean McDermott's coverages. Instead, I'm just going to try to beat you up front. If I can't, I lose.
Yeah.
So that's one for Tennessee.
All right. I mean, I hear you, but I think what comes with trying to treat your quarterback that way is, like, I think McDermott and the Bills and Bobby Babich would be nuts if they stayed in the too high shell, don't beat us deep thing against this team. Because this is not a team. Their receivers are names you know. There's no, you know, they even Tyler Boyd has had a career in the league. We certainly know him here for what he did in 17.
I'm hearing there's a Wall of Fame ceremony at halftime for Tyler Boyd.
DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley. You've got guys who've had games against the Bills even, you know, pretty recently. Ridley ate the Bills up in London last year, didn't he, with Jacksonville? Or am I overstating that? I felt like he had a decent day there against the Bills. Anyway,
he may have.
There's names you know, but the quarterback just can't do it. So, you great. You want to run it? okay, I'm gonna come up here and try to take that away. And when you try to pass it, good luck blocking me.
Well, okay,
I think I can get to the quarterback here, and I think Levis's clock is probably broken, and his progressions and all the stuff. I think I should be able to eat on him when they do throw it, and you know I got to make them throw it, and that should be my goal. So I'm gonna load up to stop the run against this team, and figure that the quarterback's not gonna hurt me. Are you waiting to say, like, he is capable of hurting you? Because he is. I mean, there's a Josh Allen-y element to this kid, Levis. I mean, he has been a disaster mostly. It's almost comedic every week. Didn't he drill a ball boy last week?
Oh, my.
On the side. I mean, this is gaff after gaff. He has a big arm, and he's kind of a cowboy. Like, he'll try it. Like, all right! And, you know, if you hit any of that, then, you know, that's major.
Did they just put him on the injury report like 5 seconds ago?
Levis?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen that.
He's officially questionable with a right shoulder injury.
I just got a thing that he's questionable.
Huh.
Rudolph. Yeah, I don't know. Let's just find out really quick. Limited, full yesterday, limited today. Well, let's assume he plays. So I would say that. Like, if I'm Team X, your thing is running the ball. This has been so much of the Bills, like the recipe for their success over the years. Most of these years, they're weaker against the run than against the pass, if not consistently throughout.
By design.
By design, fine. So if you want to run Tony Pollard 20 times, good. I do think he has a big play capability, and that leads to picks. I mean, he's been picked off a lot, but I mean, they're not. I'm not expecting this. They're not generating. They're over 170 yards passing three times. They're 104 yards or less three times in five games.
104 or less?
Yes.
Wow.
The opener is Chicago, at Miami when they won, game script, and then last week.
So yeah. So this is an opponent like mostly. I think the philosophy for a lot of teams, McDermott and the Bills included, is like you sort of just alluded to, I'll let you run. I'm just going to make sure you don't beat me. But I think when you play a team whose quarterback has been as ineffective as this guy has, then I'm going to take special steps to try to help my – I'm not going to just let you run on me. Because what I want you to do is try to pass. Because I like your chances of giving me the ball if you do that. Either from in the pocket, him getting hit and fumbling, or him just throwing it to me, or, you know, I don't know, a ball boy. Not that you get the ball when you throw it to a ball boy.
You make it sound like he's a half step away from a hospitality tent being in jeopardy.
I think it's what we haven't seen so far this year. Maybe he drills someone in the crowd this week.
Well, there's
look out,
some
friends and family section.
You know, I'm still just sort of making the case. There's some talent. I think he, like Mason Rudolph, has. Listen, I'm in court right now. I feel like I'm. He has started a playoff game. Like, they have somebody there with experience, and their commitment to Levis is only so strong. I mean, he's a second round pick, and if they go to 1-5. They go to Detroit next week. Like, if they go to 1-6, then it's like first pick in the draft season, maybe. Mm-hmm. And do they have to keep going with him? I guess they could. I really don't. We'll talk to Ben Arthur from Fox later on the Titans. And this is like the number one question is sort of how strong is the commitment? What does it look like? And will they just go to the wall with him? They don't have to. It's not who do you want? Anthony Richardson. It's not somebody where they've made a bigger bet. So I think it's that they would want to be a running team. It's what they're better at. It's what the Bills are weaker at. There's the big play potential with Levis. If the Bills want to try to stop the run because that's Tennessee's strength and their weakness, then, you know, one-on-one, the Bills still, they have Amari Cooper now, but they're still not a team that gets open. And that's the third part is the Titans have the number one yards per play defense in the NFL. Their passing defense is number one. Their yards per play overall defense, which is goes hand in hand because running plays are not worth as much, first in the league. So there, you know, there's a game where I think there is a game in the range of outcomes where it's like 20-10, you know, that you're still not getting, you're not seeing the Bills mm-hmm. really just look like a Super Bowl team.
Right. Yeah, I'm not picking them with that number. I'm not going to bet them with that number. It's 9.5, I think.
9.5.
I mean, because of the defense. But a team that is as limited on offense as this Tennessee team is, that's why I think you cannot lose to this team. You should be able to do enough on offense to get, you know, if you need to get 11 points to beat them 11-10, you should be able to do that. It might not be big on style points because of the quality of this Tennessee D. So
are you taking that?
Am I taking what?
An 11-10 win. Would you take that right now?
I just want to win games right now.
So yes?
Yeah, sure.
11-10?
11-10, I would take it.
Wow.
Sure. Don't care. Get me to 5-2.
Is that the right answer? Is that the only right answer?
I think so.
What if it's 2-0?
I mean, they just added a new receiver, and I feel like the passing game will improve as we go here, but it doesn't have to like hit the ground running.
You know what?
On Sunday, necessarily.
I think I would have to agree because like my stance this whole time has been I'll make the playoffs and what happens then is really all that matters.
Right.
And so an 11-10 win in week 7, what a score, against Tennessee in retrospect by January will mean nothing. Somebody calls in January and they'll be like, I told you guys after that Tennessee game, we were in trouble.
Right.
You know, somebody will say that, but I would have to probably sign for it because the league can get stupid sometimes. A couple of turnovers, and if you can't get open and stop them up front, then you lose. I mean, that happens. But what a turn of events that would be. You have right now, like this, the theme of the week for me has been how the Bills have sort of come out of the turbulent.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
6 weeks, night games, road games, hard opponents, stretch, just fine. 4-2, first place. And now you have a little bit of open air. But, you know, if that were if they were to lose, you're right back into the thunderstorms.
Yes,
I mean, you're
yes,
just sort of like, right. That was wrong. Whoops. Yep. At Seattle next week will not look fun.
No.
If they don't look good here.
But it's pretty nice here. I mean, it's pretty obvious when you say, you know, the road games and all. I mean, they played six games, and only two of them had been at home. Like that's yep. And to be 4-2, that's nice. And again, you look at the names there, Baltimore, Houston, sure, you lost those games, but still, you came through it 4-2, and you still have, you know, a lot of home games to play, which is nice. I mean, you know, a couple of them are pretty tough opponents, Kansas City, San Francisco specifically, but you'd rather have those games here than at their places, I think.
No doubt. All right, well, here we go. Football Friday on WGR. Sam Peniatovich keeps us going here next. Sam wants to talk about the MVP odds, and I just can't wait. I've been waiting all day for this conversation. Just sort of like what that looks like, and then also a little bit of college football tonight, tomorrow. Sam's specialty, I would want to say. And then Sunday, week 7. Ben Arthur, I mentioned, on the Titans, coming up at 4, Sal Capaccio at 5, and of course, NFL and college picks at 6. Both of us continuing our dominant ways with Denver's easy win last night. We both had that. I mean, more credit to you. Denver was my flag plant all week. Survivor pick, bet them to score on defense, all of it. I even had Cody Barton in fantasy, by the way. That's how in I was on Denver, who almost had 2 touchdowns in this game. But you, with the deficit, you're like, yeah, I'm there too. I mean, that's really strong for you to pick the same team as me when you're down in the standings.
I appreciate that. I mean, I don't want to fall further behind. And the Saints, boy, the Saints.
Exactly the game I imagined.
Has any team looked less interested in playing football this year than the Saints looked last night? I mean, that just... Holy cow.
Well, they practice, and they knew. Spencer Rattler is so interested in getting his helmet off to put his hat on at every opportunity. Like, I don't know. I don't know what hope there is there, but all Denver. So Sammy next, and then Ben and Sal through the day. Picks at 6 o'clock right there. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, Football Friday. We will be back in a snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
They're a high-effort group, and they got some real players over there. We're going to have our hands full. Working on a short week, so we've got that pushing against us. But just trusting the game plan, trusting our base rules, making sure that we're communicating and protecting starts with me. And, again, just getting the ball into our playmakers' hands and just trying to make as many plays as possible, taking care of the football.
Base rules is the key. Josh Allen and the Bills home to Tennessee Sunday at 1. Imagine Sunday at 1. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, Football Friday. On the line now, the host of BetQL Daily, Odyssey Sports, BetQL Insider, Sam Peniatovich. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. And be sure to listen to the BetQL Daily podcast. For more analysis, just search BetQL Daily wherever you find your podcasts. He asked, perhaps knowingly, Sam, where do you want to start?
Well, I think this NFL MVP race is just so goofy right now. And I pulled up the numbers at all these books in Vegas, and I have the MGM numbers up. Patrick Mahomes is favored, and he's not even close to being the best quarterback in the league in terms of statisticals right now. I think we all understand he's one of the most dangerous players in the league, and I don't think anybody wants to face him in the playoffs. But here's a list of quarterbacks, guys, and I'm sure you've discussed it throughout the week. Here's a list of quarterbacks that have more passing touchdowns than Mahomes. I'll go quick. Baker Mayfield, Joe Burrow, Jordan Love, Sam Darnold, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, C.J. Stroud, Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, Brock Purdy, Caleb Williams, Derek Carr, Dak Prescott, Jared Goff, Kyler Murray, Trevor Lawrence, Joe Flacco, Andy Dalton. I rest my case.
18. What's your favorite name on there? Mine is Lawrence.
I think it's
I gotta say Dalton.
Caleb Williams.
Okay.
But I don't Trevor Lawrence is pretty good too. He's got 6 touchdowns and 6 picks. He's not the most valuable player in the league, but what we can do with that is we can go down the board. I mean, Josh Allen right now is doing so much more with so much less, and obviously his numbers should get better with Amari Cooper in the fold. Josh Allen has 10 touchdowns and no picks, and his odds are double that of Mahomes. And I get that people want to bet Mahomes because he's awesome and otherworldly and all that, but to think he's the most valuable player favorite right now to me is asinine.
Would it be right to phrase it this way? Like he's sort of a placeholder sitting there right now?
It's almost like people just bet him by default.
Right.
Because of what he's done. But this is not like who's the quarterback that you want to lead you to a Super Bowl. This has been who's the most valuable quarterback through 6-7 weeks. And I would argue Lamar is more valuable right now. C.J. Stroud, Allen, Jaden Daniels, Sam Darnold. It's crazy to me. And I don't want to come off as a guy that says Patrick Mahomes sucks, because that's not what I'm saying either. But his numbers are nowhere near where they should be for an MVP quarterback.
There's no more interesting debate in sports talk than MVPs, because the word valuable is just so easy to different interpretations. And there's also, I don't know if exactly, Sam, this is how you feel, but we also talk to your co-host Joe Ostrowski every week, and we've all kind of been on the same page with this point, including Joe, going back, you know, well into the offseason, which is there's no way Jackson will win a third before Mahomes does. I mean, the playoff success, you vote for this award, and then the playoffs happen, and you look back like, oh. And that's why Mahomes has this lead.
Yeah, I think voters will hold it against Jackson that he blew it in the playoffs. He's going to have a way better year than he had last year, like be so far and away, and maybe he'll do that. But I feel like he's going to get dinged for last year's playoffs.
And he has the league's leading rusher, by the way.
Right, right.
It feels like it's sort of morphed into, and again, these are betting odds. The voters aren't saying Mahomes is the favorite. It's dupuses like us who are betting it that are betting Mahomes. That's what it is. It's not like the writers are saying it's
right.
Mahomes.
Right.
But he's 17th in yards, 19th in touchdowns. The only quarterback, how about this? The only quarterback in the NFL that has more picks than Patrick Mahomes is Will Levis.
Right. 7-6.
He's not the MVP of the league, guys. And you go back to his two MVP years, 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns. 5,200 yards, 41 touchdowns. I'm there. I get it. Not this current iteration of Mahomes. But
well,
what it does is it creates value on other guys.
You're, of course, right that the betting market is not the voters, but the sophisticated side, which is most, I would say, maybe you'd not say that, of the betting market is a reflection of the voting. You know, like that's what I'm saying about the legacy stuff
Jackson too. The
price is terrible on Mahomes, of course, but you're also like sort of trying to read their minds. And that's why I think like right now, all else equal, everybody's the same price. I would pick Mahomes wins despite these stats, because his team is probably the one seed and whatever, you know, like they will want to give him a third, but I don't know. There are how many players, it's still only week 7. Like how many different guys could win? Maybe 10?
Yeah, I would say 10. I mean, do we draw the line under Jordan Love and Jared Goff? That probably feels like the floor. The order right now at MGM, Mahomes, Lamar, Stroud, Allen, Purdy, Daniels, Darnold, Burrow, Love, Goff. That's probably where you could draw it.
If
I wonder if Cincinnati could get hot, because
yep.
Burrow's been torching teams, aside from the game on Sunday. If they can get in and make the playoffs at 10-7 or something like that, I wonder if that's enough. Because they had to overcome a lot early. They sucked out of the gate. The defense was horrible. Maybe that's the guy. Maybe Burrow at 18-1 if they can get hot and if he can get them in. But you're right. I mean, I think it's a fun conversation. I don't know that Mahomes is the best player right now in football, but we know what he's capable of when the games matter, and that's really all that should matter to the players anyway.
I threw the Burrow idea this morning to your co-host. Like, isn't he worth a shot for the reasons you said? If their defense stays bad, he can just keep lighting it up and everything else. But Joe then made the point to me that I make a lot, which is you better win 13 games.
Yeah, I'm thinking they got to pass Baltimore if he's going to get the MVP.
Yes, but they could.
They could, that's right.
I mean, Baltimore does have 2 losses. Sam, if I knew somebody in a state, perhaps Illinois, that or somewhere, that could place the bet for me, I know what I would do. I would bet Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Yes. 22-1.
Is that I grew up in Chicago. I can text my brother right now for you guys if you want.
I've already reached out to Joe, but radio silence. But anyway, like, Love, he's missed a couple games. I bet Green Bay to make the playoffs when Malik Willis was starting because I think the coach is so good. And that was like plus 170. And I know the division is strong, but is he really good? Yes. Are there undeniable weapons around him? No. I mean, it seems they're good, I think, but seemingly kind of interchangeable. I like him against Houston. If that's right, then he moves up and Stroud moves down this week. Houston was blasted by Minnesota. I don't know. Like, I think he kind of checks most of the boxes. And if it is the case that they have to get to the top of the charts in the standings, I think that's also possible.
So I'll just give you this, the quarterback rating stat, which isn't the end-all be-all. According to the quarterback rating stat, the best three quarterbacks right now are Joe Burrow, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson. Jordan Love is 16th, but he hasn't played enough games. That sort of goes against him. But it's Burrow, Mayfield, Jackson, Jaden Daniels. Those are the top four. And look, guys, Baker Mayfield leads the league with 15 touchdowns and 5 picks. But I think Bulldog, you said it best. You basically have to be the best player on a good team. I think.
Yeah. I can't get with Baker. He gets Jackson on Monday night. He's almost never beaten him. So maybe that would probably go a long way.
If he shows out with those stats in a Monday night game, it might be, and they get to 5-2, maybe it'll be time to take them a little more seriously than they've been taken.
He out-duels Jackson.
Right.
A game like that.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Sam Panayotovich, our guest from BetQL Daily. Bills 9.5-point favorite, the chalk of the week. Are you with them, or what do you think?
No, I avoided the telemarketer trying to sell me knives. I avoided the solar guy at the door trying to give me panels. Like, that's the thing. Like, oh, like, that's a big number. Oh, let me take 9.5. And then you look up in the first quarter and Buffalo's up 14-0. And you're like, oh, I'm so glad I bought these knives that aren't sharp. So I avoided it. I also saw this come across in the last, 30 minutes or so, that Will Levis is questionable for week number 7. So does that mean, is it Mason Rudolph potentially at quarterback? That would make me like it more, but not enough to go against Buffalo. I did look at this. We have to bet Amari Cooper touchdown, right?
Yes. I say yes. I did a FanDuel spot right before you came on and said, hey, let's get nuts and mix in an Amari Cooper touchdown. It's for home game, sun's out, let's go.
So he's 2-1. The best price on Cooper is 2-1. The worst price is plus 140. Obviously, get the best number. Don't bet 10 at 140. Bet 10 at 2-1. They got to get him the ball. And I did see that clip where Allen threw the ball into the stands away, and Cooper goes up and plucks it with one hand. And I'm thinking, that'll work. That'll work on the field. I think that's the move. I think Amari Cooper is going to score a touchdown in the game. I am not taking the points, though, with Tennessee. I'm dumb, but I'm not that dumb.
Interesting. Yeah, that's from when he played for Cleveland, and the Bills and Browns played in Detroit, of course.
Right.
And that one throwaway ended up being one-hand grab by Cooper. So how about a best bet for week 7, Sam, league-wide, and then we'll talk college quickly.
Yeah, so I do like Green Bay. I laid 2.5 with the Packers, with your guy Jordan Love. I think the Texans are so overvalued. And then I took 3 with the Dolphins. So I got Green Bay minus 2.5, the Dolphins plus 3, and in college I'm taking 4 with Illinois. I find no reason to lay points with Michigan and Sharon Moore on the road. And you know, guys, they're very excited for their third quarterback in 8 weeks in Ann Arbor. Oh, yeah, very excited for Jack Tuttle. It's the third quarterback in 8 weeks. Give me a break.
That can't be good. What do you think of Florida State, for the first time in its history, I read, being an underdog tonight at Duke?
Ooh, if you fly, I'll fly. I'm in if you are.
For Florida State, plus 3?
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's not Duke. I'm not laying points with Duke. But the question is, can we take the Noles plus 3?
I mean, I could do anything. So you tell me if you think it's crazy. You don't sound like you think it's crazy.
I don't think it's crazy. So the two games I circled tonight are Florida State, and I think Oregon is going to win 49-10 against Purdue. Purdue is atrocious.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of points. It's a lot of points till you're down 28-0 at half
right.
In Lafayette.
Yeah, another great rivalry. game, Oregon and
I
Purdue.
Know, yeah, nothing gets Oregon going like flying to Indiana to play Purdue, huh?
Oh, I'm sure you're right. All right, Sam, any questions for us?
I need to know who's going to beat the Bills in the AFC East. Who's it going to be?
Wait, you mean
in the division?
For the division?
Yeah, is anybody catching
no.
them? I think the answer is no.
I think the Jets could.
I think the Jets are dead.
Really? I think they're a dumpster fire.
Yeah, dead. That's why. Yeah.
Yeah, right. I'm not giving up yet on that. Yeah. I've liked it all year. And
we've been at odds all summer about Rodgers making it through the season and whether the whole thing's going to collapse. And I'm still banking on collapse.
It's a huge result Monday night what happened, but it was a very even game. It was a field goal kicker game. And if the Jets had gotten it, they're both 3-3 with Davante Adams. I mean, I don't know. It's not that far away with 11 games left for me. And it's 5-1, isn't it?
It's just, you have to love, though. You have to love at this point in mid-October to look at the app and see the Patriots at 100-1 to win the division. That's got to be so awesome.
Yeah, that's the best. I love Jacksonville this week against them. I'm taking them in a survivor pick, too. I just think.
Oh, are they brutal? And I know the rest of the league can't wait to beat them while they're down. I know that for sure.
Second straight game in London. We lived that life last year. The Bills went there after Jacksonville had already been there a week. You know, it didn't go well.
I could be out until 6 in the morning drinking all the beer on Saturday night. I'm almost 60 years old. I won't be doing that, but I could be. I would get up just to watch New England get their ass kicked on Sunday morning.
I knew it. I knew it. I knew that's the pulse. And you know what? I feel the same way. I live in Boston now, but I can't stand that team. I could never stand them. I never liked Brady. It's so awesome to see them be so bad and have no answers for it either.
I totally thought you were going to say, like, I'm not watching the game. That turned into I would never miss it.
Right. No, I would set an alarm to get up. I mean, wow. Don't ask me how post-game would go on Sunday at 4 o'clock.
Go to bed. You don't have. Who says you got to go to bed?
In real life, when you won't do that drinking, you'll already be off the golf course in time to watch the kickoff, right. The game by 9:30.
Perfect.
On right. Sunday. It's going to be beautiful here. Sam, thank you, and we'll look forward to next Friday's chat.
Me too, guys. Let's go Oregon. Let's run it up tonight. Run it up.
You're very tempting. That was the host of BetQL Daily, Odyssey Sports BetQL Insider, Sam Paniatovich. BetQL Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Ben Arthur, NFL on Fox, joins us coming up in less than 20 minutes on the Bills' Week 7 opponent, Tennessee. We'll talk to Sal as well today. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WG. Getting connected with the fans brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online, northtownkia.com. Sal coming up in, no, Sal's at 5. Ben Arthur on the Titans coming up in about 12 minutes. Here is JD with us. Hello.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate you taking the call.
Sure thing.
Hey, I'm looking for your take on, I know Allen's an elite quarterback, but I think the rest of the team's units have holes in them other than the offensive line. I see it as our strongest unit. And really, from what I've seen this year in the NFL, a top 10 unit, which I think could carry us a long way. Good offensive line, elite quarterback, and then maybe improving skill positions. Maybe Milano, with the grace of God, he comes back. And we're Super Bowl contenders. What do you think?
I think they are anyway. Line is fine.
I think the line is good. The line is good. We'll see, like, every week, every challenge that gets presented. I loved the Jets, big, mean, tough defense, yada, yada. The Bills smacked them right at the start of the game on Monday night. Now, you know, this is a new test and two big-time tackles in the middle of the Tennessee defense there, Simmons and Sweat. If they can move those dudes, if they can do business running at all, but especially in between the tackles, I'll be super impressed. I think they have a very good unit there. I think the tackles have been mostly excellent, and Edwards and, you know, stepping in for McGovern, and McGovern moving over has worked nicely. It's different, right? Like, Morse was more athletic, and they said they did some different things with him, getting him out in space, and I loved how they did that. McGovern is more of a standard, like, I'm just going to overwhelm you with power type of guy, and I think it's working.
I still struggle with the fact that there are two Connor McGoverns who are not related that both play center in the NFL. The other one was New Orleans.
Last night. Yeah, I saw him.
You just can't have injuries. The Bills, I think a lot of fans just feel like the Bills are sort of snake bit when it comes to injuries. They've had their share. Nothing up front. Like the Saints, for example.
Fell apart up
everybody's
there.
Everybody's gone down on that line, I think literally. So you don't want that. Nobody wants that. That's needless to say. But the Bills have been fortunate up front last year and this year. What was it last year? Like
They played the whole season
Nobody
together.
Ever came out.
Right.
Yeah, like that's a great luxury. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Thanks for the call, JD. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.